If you need to have some food on hand for guests dropping in for the holidays, we have some advice this morning. It comes from celebrity chef Nigella Lawson, who's a regular guest here on Morning Edition. You've got something called sherry glazed chorizo. We've talked about chorizo before, and this is bits of sausage, right?
Well, it is bits of sausage, but I feel that since I've eaten it in a tapas bar in Seville, I don't feel that I'm just being incredibly lazy. And this is really chorizo sausage, which you slice into coins and then cook till it slightly colours and scorches. And then at the last minute, I splash in some sherry. Now, I use a sherry that would make some people raise an eyebrow, which is a cream sherry, but I quite like the extra sweet note. It's quite a laid-back recipe because it just takes under 5 minutes to make, and you can use the sherry of your choice.
As simple as this dish is, and I'm looking at a photograph here in one of your books, I mean, it's one ingredient. It's hunks of meat on a plate, but it's very attractive. It almost glistens. It's got a glaze on it of sorts.
Well, it really does, because of the amount of sugar. There's the small amount of sugar in the sherry seems to catch. And I think there is just something about that sort of holy trinity, if I may say so, unholy trinity of sugar, salt and fat that makes each mouthful very Moorish.
Very Moorish. What does that mean?
It means you have to have more. You haven't heard that word?
I thought you were talking in geographical terms.
Well, it is Moorish in terms of historically, but it is sort of Moorish spelled M-O-R-E as well.
Well, let's get a little Moorish with some peanut butter hummus. What is it?
Well, peanut butter hummus is one of my greatest discoveries of this year. It's a hummus that you make instead of normally using tahini, which is a really sesame butter. If you think of it, it's just crushed sesame seeds. I used peanut butter. So what you get, rather than that normal, slightly pale hummus, you get one that's more like the brown envelope you might get a bill in. And it's absolutely fantastic. And really, all you're doing is putting in a blender some chickpeas, a garlic clove, some olive oil, peanut butter, a bit of lemon juice and some salt. And then I like to whiz it up with a teeny bit of thick yogurt and some ground cumin. And you have the most fantastic puree, which you can either, you know, smear into little pockets of pita, or you can use breadsticks to dip in. It's one of those dips that you do keep going back into. But I think, on the other hand, it's quite useful because at this time of year, if you just want to put one thing out with drinks, it is perhaps a more friendly mixed generational snack.
Oh, because my daughter might eat something with peanut butter in it, for example.
But it's really, in fact, it sounds like it's a slightly jokey addition to an appetizer platter, but actually it isn't. It's got a very sophisticated taste, but there's no intrinsic superiority from sesame seeds to peanuts.
So
we're more used to peanuts.
So if I asked you if you could spread this hummus on bread and put some jelly on and another piece of bread, you would probably slap me or something. You wouldn't be.
I wouldn't slap you. The pity of radio is you can't see the rather stern look I'd be giving you. If you're not born into it, peanut butter and jelly is a difficult step to take.
Okay.
But I certainly, you can make, this would be fantastic on toast and great in sandwiches and the sort of thing you'd want to be eating as you watch TV with a very cold beer in front of you as well.
There you go. Let's talk about something sweet. You've got a chocolate orange loaf cake to describe here.
Well, I do. Now, this is the sort of useful thing, which is, it's the sort of cake that used to be called in old-fashioned England a cut-and-come-again cake, because someone drops by, you know, you take their bonnet and hang it up and slice them a bit of cake and they sit with a cup of tea or coffee and then go on their way until your other visitors arrive. It's actually like a chocolate pound cake, but you add the zest of two oranges in the juice of one to it. So it's quite intensely orangey. But in England, at any rate, chocolate orange is a very Christmas flavour. That's our idea of a treat at this time of year. But I actually think that sometimes it's nice to remind people that a plain cake that is not frosted can be a very deep pleasure, and it doesn't have to be over-sugared or over-fancy.
And let me just say, there is no frosting on this. It's just cake. It's just a piece of cake.
And it's baked in a loaf tin.
And
or loaf pan, you'd call it.
So we've got these wonderful little dishes. We can leave them around on the table. We can serve them, and it's something a little less than a full meal. What should we have to drink?
Well, I have a real weakness for a drink that the Italians, the chic northern Italians, call Prosecco Sporco, which means dirty Prosecco, but I translate it as filthy fizz. Prosecco being the fizzy Italian wine.
What's dirty and about it?
Well, they dirty it with a small slug of Campari, which is very bitter and, in fact, not at all dirty. It's a beautiful, bejeweled red, very, very good for the time of year. But I should also say, if you want to, I've often been in favour of going to the coffee shop. And you know, at this time of year, they make gingerbread lattes.
Oh, yeah.
And in what you ask to buy a bottle of the gingerbread syrup, and that, a splosh of that in Prosecco, is a fantastic way to go as well.
Would you start with this Prosecco Sporco, which is basically kind of a mixed drink, and then mix it some more? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't mix an awful lot. I do it from the beginning. I pour people, I make them hold the glass. They've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Prosecco in my right hand, and I have my splashing liqueur or gingerbread syrup in my left, and I pour an almost full glass, and then I add a teeny bit of, again, I could call it an aromatic, and then it fizzes up in delight, and so does your guest.
That really sounds wonderful. And you don't even have to put an umbrella on top of it to make it a nice
Certainly
trip.
Not. Perish the thought.
Nigella, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Nigella Lawson's latest cookbook is called Nigella Kitchen, and you can find some more of her recipes at npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Don Gagne.